Well, how do you poison somebody, Pastor? Well, I told you before, I'll remind you again. Lying, gossiping, speaking harshly, tearing them down, foul language, sowing discord, arguing, evil speaking. How do you poison somebody? Those are ways that you poison somebody. James said that our tongues are filled with deadly poison, just like a snake. That when that snake hits you, boom, and shoots that venom into you, unless you get the antidote, it's only a matter of minutes before you're dead.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Tongue, Only You Can Prevent Forest Fires, from our series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Tongue, Only You Can Prevent Forest Fires.
That I could tear that person down and make them feel like a little wee pebble that's insignificant, and I can do that with my tongue. It's powerful. And then James goes on to say, it's not only is the tongue powerful, but the tongue is perverted. The perversion of the tongue. He says that in verse 7. He says, for every kind of beast and birds and serpent and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. They've all been tamed. You can tame a lion. You can tame a tiger. And you can tame a bear. But James says that people have the hardest time training their tongue. That it swings uncontrollably. And every beast of the field can be tamed, but the tongue is a beast that cannot be tamed. People don't try to tame it. Heard a person say, I just washed my tongue this morning, and I can't do a thing with it. I just washed my tongue this morning, and I can't do a thing with it. The tongue is perverted. And not only that, but look what he says in verse 8. He says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, if you want to poison somebody, you don't have to put anything in their drink. You just say the wrong words to them. And you can defile their whole life. You can poison their whole life. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you poisoned somebody? Well, how do you poison somebody, Pastor? Well, I told you before, I'll remind you again. Lying, gossiping, speaking harshly, tearing them down, foul language, sowing discord, arguing, evil speaking. How do you poison somebody? Those are ways that you poison somebody. James said that our tongues are filled with deadly poison, just like a snake. That when that snake hits you, boom, and shoots that venom into you, unless you get the antidote, it's only a matter of minutes before you're dead. Would to God deliver us from perverted tongues, tongues that cannot be tamed. You know, the psalmist, as godly as a person as the psalmist was, the psalmist sang sweet praises to God. If you go back and read the Psalms and you think about all the songs that the psalmist sang and how the psalmist praised God, you know one thing that the psalmist said in the midst of all that praising God? The psalmist said, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth and watch over the door of my lips." What? As much as you praise God, as much as you worship God, as much as you exalted God, you mean to tell me that you want somebody to set a watch over the door of your mouth and keep your lips? Why did he pray that? He prayed it because he knew the poison nature of the tongue. Let's look at the produce of the tongue. The produce of the tongue. Verse 9. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men who are made after the similitude of God. So first of all, we see here that the tongue produces praises and cursing. Man praises God. Let me back up. People here this morning praise God. People here this morning praise God. Now, hopefully those same people won't leave this afternoon and curse out somebody. The produce of the tongue. It produces praises and it produces curses. Not only that, but look what James says in verse 11. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh. How in the world can the same thing come out of the same mouth? There's an ancient fable about a monster known as Proteus, and he had the power of assuming many shapes and appearances. He could be a tree or a pebble. He could be a lion or a dove. He could be a serpent or a lamb. He had no difficulty in passing from one form to another. So it is the tongue. It has no difficulty passing from one form to another. It has no difficulty praising God at 10:30 and cussing somebody out at 2 o'clock. James said in verse 12, he says, or not in verse 12, but verse 10, he said, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. He said, how in the world can this happen? Why do things like that happen? You know, man is an awesome creature. Think about this for a minute. Mankind is the only one that can do something that's against his nature to do. James said here, can a spring produce fresh and salt water? And what's the obvious answer to that? No. Can a fig tree bear olives? No. Can a grapevine bear figs? No. James says, look, even nature has sense. Right? Even nature has sense. Nature knows that it can't go contrary to what it was intended to do. Why is it that man, who has been made in the likeness and image of God, man who in Revelation it says that we were created to praise God, we were created to worship God, why is it that man who was created in such a manner goes against the very nature of which it was created for? James says, these things ought not be. Man is the only one out of all of God's creation that does something that's contrary to the nature in which it was created. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be numbered in that group. I know, I'm going to be honest with you, as a preacher, I know I struggle. I know I say some things that sometimes I shouldn't say. I know. But where's our heart at when that happens? Do we have a grieving heart? Do we have a grieving spirit? Or can we just shoot off at the mouth and just keep going? Can we just walk down the street and do a drive-by with our tongue and just see all kind of people laying on the side of the road and just keep rolling on? Or do we look back and see the devastation and the destruction that we've caused because we weren't able to control, corral, or cleanse our tongue? Well, let me go back to my first point, and that is possession of the tongue. That James says that we must take possession of our tongue. Verses 1 and 2. My brethren, be not many teachers. And what do teachers do? They use their tongue. They talk, knowing that we shall receive the greater judgment. So people who talk are going to be judged. And what will they be judged on? They will give an account of the words that come out of their mouth. Every word that comes out of your mouth, you will give an account for. And so he says, that being the case, that you need to discipline yourself. He says in verse 2, for in many things we all stumble. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man who is able to bridle the whole body. He says that if we can control our tongue, it's a pretty good indication that we can control the rest of our body. That a person that is unable to control their tongue, you can almost guarantee there's other issues that going on that they are not disciplined in. Now, that's not me saying that. That's the word of God saying it. That if you have not been able to discipline your tongue, that there's probably some other areas of your life that's going undisciplined. Well, how do we overcome this? This is what I call the five D's of taming the tongue. The five D's of taming the tongue. What do you got to do? First of all, dedicate your tongue to the Lord. Say, Lord, this tongue is meant to praise you. You know, back in the Old Testament, they had vessels that were in the temple, and these vessels were consecrated to God. They were dedicated to God, and you couldn't use them for anything else. Remember when Belshazzar took the vessels that were intended to be only used in the house of God, and he was drinking wine out of them, and they was having a drunken orgy and a drunken party. You remember what happened that night? There was a handwriting on the wall. Meanie, meanie, tekel, you Pharisee. You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Why? Because you used something that was sacred. You used something that was holy, and you used it for the wrong purpose. You used it for the wrong reason. So the first thing that we've got to do every morning when we get up, you got to dedicate your tongue to the Lord. I'm saying dedicate your whole self, but especially your tongue. Dedicate it to the Lord. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Present your tongue to the Lord. If you got a problem, present it as soon as you get up. Lord, this is your tongue. This tongue is meant to sing your praises. Dedicate it to the Lord. Secondly, devote. Devotion. Cleanse your tongue by spending time in the Word of God. Nothing is going to clean your tongue quicker than getting in the Word of God. If you hang around and around a bunch of sour, moaning, groaning, griping people, a bunch of gossiping, critical people, then that's going to get in your spirit, and that's what's going to come out. Man, you got to flush that stuff out. How do you flush it out? You flush it out by being in the Word of God. Wherewith all shall a young man cleanse his ways? Psalm 119:9. By taking heed according to the Word of God. How are you going to cleanse it? You cleanse it by the Word of God. You don't have to get your charcoal and put it on your tongue. All you got to do is get into the Word and let the Word of God cleanse your tongue. Dedication, devotion, denial. You've got to deny the use of your tongue for sinful purposes. Romans, look, that's a good one there. Let's look at that one. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." Well, what is one of your members? Your tongue is one of your members. And it says, don't yield it as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and that your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Let your tongue be used to teach the little ones the precepts of God. Let your tongue be used to sing the praises of God. Let your tongue be used to encourage somebody who's struggling in their marriage. Let your tongue be used to guide a soul that's weary to the right place. Let your tongue be used to comfort somebody that just lost a loved one. Let your tongue be used to encourage somebody who's dealing with sickness in their body. Let your tongue be used to have somebody that's having, encourage somebody that's having a financial problem. Let your tongue be used to build up an abused child. Let your tongue be used to encourage somebody who's been beat down. Let your tongue be used to help somebody who has just lost their job. Let your tongue be used as members of righteousness and not yielded unto sin. Don't let it be said that I'm yielding my tongue more to sin than I am to righteousness. Let my day be characterized by a tongue that is yielded to righteousness. Oh, there's going to come times when we slip up. There's going to come times when things come out. But let us get back on the path of righteousness when it happens. Just because you slipped over into the pathway of sin, that don't mean you have to stay there. Come on back. Come on back on the right road. Cleanse your tongue. Purify your heart. And continue on. Dedicate, devote, deny, and develop. Now, I know people don't want to hear this right here, but I'm going to tell you, because this is what the Bible says. Develop relationships with trusted friends who will be able to tell us when we offend with our tongue. Wow. Wow. See, sometimes people have been doing it so long that they don't know they're doing it. And maybe we just need to do a tongue check. And somebody that loves us, somebody that has our best interests at heart, is just sit down and ask the question. Because really, we can get full of ourselves. Let's just be honest. We can get full of ourselves, and we can think, and I'll clean it up. I'll clean it up. But we can think our stuff don't stink, all right? And just keep going on. But sometimes we gotta go to people that love us and say, look, let me ask you a question. Have you noticed that I've been offensive in the things that I've said to people? Have I been harsh in some of the ways that I've carried myself? And if you go to that person, Proverbs chapter 27, Proverbs chapter 27. It's not my mother, not my father, but it's me, O Lord. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. That if somebody that loves me, like I know my wife, I know when my wife tells me stuff, it might make me mad. But you know what? I know that she's telling me because she loves me. And I know she's telling me because she wants the best for me. I understand that. And so I receive it. Faithful are the wounds. Why do I get upset? Because I've been wounded. Because I got, you just shot an arrow. But you know what? If you go somewhere else in the Psalms, it says, the psalmist said, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. It was good that I was afflicted. It was good that I was wounded. because now my life is a lot better as a result of it. And then finally, devaluate. Devaluate your pride and accept the observation of others. That it's not, it's one thing to ask somebody, but then it's another thing to receive it. And a lot of times our stinking pride keeps us from receiving what's going to help us. And so sometimes we've got to be honest with ourselves and say, look, maybe, you know, one thing I was figuring out, that somebody said if one person calls you a donkey, then don't consider it. If two people call you a donkey, then you need to start considering it. And if three people call you a donkey, then you need to saddle up. So. So my question is, if we got this trail of wounded people where we've walked, at what point do we say, maybe it's me? I mean, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the one that is cutting people up with my tongue. And that when we receive the right input, that we will be ready to deal with it and apply it to our lives. As I wind this message down, I want you, before you speak, I want you to think. Solomon said in Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the wicked, the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. In your notes, I have a little section there that says, before you speak, think. T-H-I-N-K. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Now, some of us need to cut that out or Xerox it and paste it on the dashboard of our car. Some of us need to put it on our refrigerator. Some of us need to put it in the memory of our smartphones. And we need to ask this question. Man, there's a whole lot of wounded people because God's people have not talked to them the right way. And would to God that we would be more sensitive. I'm not saying for us to lay down and let folk walk over us. All I'm saying is just be more sensitive in the way that you talk to folk. And just realize that you can't talk to people any old way. And that before you say some things, you need to think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? You need to stop and think. As I close this morning, I went through the scripture and put together this prayer. And you may, again, this is a good prayer. I think it, and not because I put it together, because it's just the word of God, but I think that you need to get this prayer somewhere close to you. Not because I did it, but because it's biblical. But look at this prayer. Look at this prayer. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Psalm 141:3. Keep my tongue from evil and my lips from speaking guile. Psalm 34:13. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Psalm 120:2. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Psalm 63:3. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. Psalm 71:23. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the first half of Hope, Lessons from the Tree. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, The Tongue, Only You Can Prevent Forest Fires, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request The Tongue, Only You Can Prevent Forest Fires. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request The Tongue, Only You Can Prevent Forest Fires. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.